What's on Tap with Derek Haglund.
You guys know where I could get one of those gold necklaces with a T on it?
That's a cross.
A cross from where?
On ESPN Kansas City, 99.3 FM.
The third string quarterback getting snaps. Oh no, something terrible must have happened. I'm Joshua Briscoe, filling in for Derek Haglund, filling in for Cody Tapp. We've gone three deep to get this show on the air today, and I am happy to be here. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe if you've heard this voice before. It's because I host Sports Sunday over on the other station, over on Sports Radio 810 WHB. But today I'm in for Derek on the show that's still named after Cody Tapp. I don't totally understand all of the layers of naming that have gone into this show, but today it's simply What's on Tap, and I am Joshua Briscoe with you here for the next hour. I've been waiting for the Chiefs to help the news ferry get to us for a little while now. I've been hoping that they would eventually make another giant decision right before a show that I was about to host, and it seems like this week they came in for me again, because boy, nothing helps get you through the dog days of sports radio like seeing the Chiefs cut Jeremy Maclin, or then seeing them fire their GM out of absolutely nowhere. What happens yesterday? The Chiefs hire their new guy. They hire Brett Veach as the general manager from here on out. And it wasn't surprising, and it makes sense. And even more importantly, I think it confirms basically all of the conspiracy theories that we were already collectively leaning into. Clark Hunt was tired of John Dorsey, the person, not of John Dorsey's philosophy. Because everything you've heard about Brett Veach is that he works really well with Andy Reid, he sort of came up under Andy Reid, and that he, essentially, is a young John Dorsey. Talk about him being a guy who loves watching film and is a good talent evaluator and is always in the film room evaluating, looking at the next guy to turn over at the bottom of the roster or figure out where you're going in free agency or the draft. The guy who is kind of obsessed with player evaluations. Everything I've heard about Brett Veach makes him sound like John Dorsey. So I've been saying now for weeks, if the Chiefs do hire Brett Veach to be the GM, it's going to show us the problem that Clark Hunt and Andy Reid had with John Dorsey. It wasn't with his philosophy. It wasn't with the type of GM that he was. Even though the cap situation ended up being a mess, that's not the reason here. Andy Reid and Clark Hunt didn't like that John Dorsey was wheeling and dealing a little bit on his own. They didn't like that he was working outside of the power dynamic that is built there. We see all of that because Brett Veach all along was the continuity candidate. He was the guy who was going to be able to step in and keep as much as possible the same. I think if we didn't know that John Dorsey had been fired and we just didn't hear from the GM for a while, the way Brett Veach is going to manage his team, we're not going to be able to tell much of a difference. Now, I hope we don't tell a difference for quite a while, except for maybe with the cap, because the way that John Dorsey built this roster seemed to work out pretty well. Now, I still have a huge problem with the Chiefs cutting Jeremy Maclin, because it simply made the offense worse, and this is an offense that needs more talent, not less of it. And next year, the Chiefs are going to be paying Tom Bahali and Jeremy Maclin and Alex Smith $10 million to not play for them. There are other reasons that you could have argued for letting John Dorsey go, but as a talent evaluator, he did mostly really good things in Kansas City. That's why his firing, and it was a firing, was so surprising. Now, Brett Veach comes in to not rock the boat. Not rocking the boat is not something you do if you want a front office overhaul. If Andy Reid were to have gone to Clark Hunt, or if Clark Hunt were to say to himself, "Self, I don't like what's going on here. I don't like the direction that this franchise is headed in. I don't like the way that John Dorsey is managing this roster, this cap, this team, this organization. We need something different to happen here." You don't hire the guy from the inside. It would have been Chris Ballard, but Chris Ballard ended up going to Indianapolis this offseason to be the GM there. And the reports and the voices from other scouts and people across the league have said that this hiring from Brett Veach is not just the Chiefs hiring an underling, because Veach interviewed for the Bills GM job this offseason. LeSean McCoy was even vouching for him, because I guess McCoy knew him from his time in Philadelphia. But this wasn't simply getting a candidate that was not going to step on Andy Reid's toes. But it is a guy who Andy Reid's going to be very comfortable with, and it's going to provide as small of a transition process as possible. Which again isn't something you do if you want the front office to change how it operates. It's something you do if you want to change the person at the top of football operations. Veach is probably going to be fine. We're probably going to see very few major changes, and we will eventually see, I think, how much of the personnel success in recent years was John Dorsey versus how much of it was Andy Reid. I heard a couple of really interesting things in the last few weeks about times whenever Andy Reid interjected in the process of the draft, most specifically, where Reid stepped in to really, really push for a player that he wanted on the team despite some potential drawbacks. And most of those risky moves, if you do attribute any of those to Andy Reid, have worked out pretty well for the Chiefs. John Dorsey is the personnel guy, though. He's the GM. You can't credit the success of the Chiefs outside of John Dorsey. The firing was still confusing. The details came out. There were the details in the Star a little way out of the firing of John Dorsey. There were the really interesting reports from that Albert Breer story on the MMQB that we broke down a few weeks ago over on Sports Sunday. The reasoning seems clear now. Now the question is, how is Brett Veach going to run this organization? We know, I talked to Benjamin Albright a couple of weeks ago over on 810, and because he was one of the first people to report, he was the first person to report that essentially Andy Reid ran John Dorsey out of town. And he said at the time that Veach was the leader in the clubhouse, the leader across the league to get that job, to get this job. But Ben said, and other people have said, that Dorsey and Reid were on the same page as far as Patrick Mahomes, which is important. You can't have your head coach suddenly be stuck with a quarterback he doesn't want to deal with. They're on the same page with Mahomes, and in large part, I think the potential damage that could have been done by maybe Dorsey working outside of the power structure that Hunt and Reid wanted him to be a part of, I think the damage is going to be relatively minimal, and in fact the success is relatively maximal. The Chiefs have had some of their best seasons in recent memory over the last three seasons. It doesn't happen without Dorsey. Now it's going to be happening with Brett Veach. And last Sunday, I talked to Matt Verderam of FanSided, and we'll talk about a tweet from Evan Silva that got a lot of run on Chiefs Twitter. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show today. Matt thinks that the Chiefs are going to win the AFC West by a couple of games. And Matt does not just talk out of his bloop. That's my censor. That's my censoring sound. He doesn't just talk out of his bloop. And I think his logic, while I have some problems with it, maybe because I'm naturally cynical and pessimistic about the Chiefs because I've grown up watching them, I think the line of logic makes some sense. The Chiefs should be getting better from last season. Now you have the gamble of bringing in Kareem Hunt to try to bolster your running back group, and you're going into this season without Jeremy Maclin. You're putting up a gamble for what Chris Conley can bring, and you have to work without that number two receiver, but you've got the second year of Tyreek Hill. The roster's in pretty good shape. They're limited severely by the quarterback. They've admitted that by going to get Pat Mahomes. We all know that Alex Smith's days here are numbered, and I would say they're numbered by this season at the most. I can't see them going into the next year still paying Alex Smith. It just doesn't make any sense. The Broncos have bigger quarterback problems than the Chiefs do. The Raiders lost the Chiefs twice last year. Maybe they split this season. The Chargers are an inferior franchise to the rest of the division, even though they've got probably the second best quarterback in the division. I'm comfortable with that. I think the Chiefs are still in a pretty good spot, even though that Evan Silva tweet they'll talk about a little bit later on has them pulling down 9 wins or fewer. Matt's line of logic brought a lot to the table for me. If you want to call into the show, you can do it here on 99.3 FM, 1510 AM, ESPN, Kansas City. You can call the show at 913-491-TALK or 913-491-8255. I'm curious what the average consensus is on the Brett Veach hiring for the Chiefs general manager spot. Rudy, now Derek is gone. I'm Josh Abrisco filling in for Derek in for Tap. I still don't totally understand this whole process. It's all right though. Rudy, I have no idea how much Derek allows you to speak. I don't know if it's like a speak when spoken to kind of thing. If you've got some spicy hot takes, but I don't want to come into your home here because Rudy is still here today. I don't want to come into your home and then just like poop in your living room. I don't know the decorum here. Are you allowed to speak?
Yes, he does. And every now and then he has to get the whip out.
Okay, all right.
I go too long, you know.
Makes sense. I promise there will be no whipping today. I'm not comfortable enough here in someone else's home to start like whipping the maid or whatever. That's kind of gross. I was expecting you to come barreling in with some spicy hot take there, but it's okay. We're all right.
Well, me and Derek have talked about this, and I think Brett Veach is the right hire. I hate the firing. I think it's way easier to find people who can manage a cap than it is to find people who can actually identify talent in the draft. And I'm worried that Veach is going to, when he feels he wants to do things this way and Andy Reid wants to do it a different way, that he's just always going to go with Andy Reid because that's his guy.
Well, I think that's part of it. And like Brandon Kiley, who always has good things to say, is on Twitter at BK Sports Talk. He's, you know, Brett Veach may well end up being a superstar GM, but the hire doesn't exactly quiet the questions of this being an Andy Reid power play. It's certainly Andy Reid bringing a guy he's comfortable with. At the same time, though, Andy Reid is the Chiefs' decision-making brain at this point. I think that's something that you have to hope you're comfortable with. He does not want to manage the day-to-day workings of player personnel management and everything, which he did at the end in Philadelphia and ended very badly. That's why it was the end in Philadelphia in large part, other than just having like Andy Reid fatigue, which I know that we, even just a few years in, can understand a little bit. I think part of the firing of John Dorsey was so Andy Reid could have the final say, and I think that's okay. I'm not a huge fan. I'm not thrilled about the idea of having one brain ruling over an entire organization, but I think that's also part of the reason that Dorsey was fired, is Dorsey was acting as that one brain. Because, again, the stories that came out a few weeks ago indicated that Dorsey was sort of working outside of the power structure, but the process that the Chiefs were so married to, where essentially Dorsey, well, not essentially, where exactly John Dorsey and Andy Reid both reported back to Clark Hunt, something they instilled after Scott Pioli was doing too much of his own thing. Scott Pioli was coloring outside the lines constantly, and Clark Hunt was finding out things after decisions were made. There was a report out that I think it was from that Albert Breer story on the MMQB. If you haven't read it, it's absolutely worth a read for the logic of why the Chiefs did fire John Dorsey. There was reports that there are people in the building who found out about Jeremy Maclin being released through the media. And the way that the Chiefs are set up now, that's not supposed to happen. That's not a way that this organization is supposed to operate, I think, in a large case, because Clark Hunt has some Scott Pioli PTSD. And Pioli traumatic stress disorder. We'll just say just PTSD. And I get it. I do too. I think everybody in Kansas City has a little bit of that right now. And I think Clark Hunt was just having some flashbacks as John Dorsey was was making moves that hadn't been mutually agreed upon. I also think John Dorsey was at a place where he'd said, bleep it. I'm winning. I've built you a darn good roster. I will be able to get a job somewhere else whenever I want it. You guys can go to hell. I'm going to cut Jay Howard for cap space. I think if you are upset by the Dorsey firing, which you have every, there are so many reasons to at least be very confused by it, which is kind of where I landed. And I'm not necessarily pro the firing at this point, but I'm trying to understand it more than I'm trying to excuse it. I'm kind of at that place still. But if you are upset about the changing of the guard, I think you can be a little relieved with Brett Veach because he's a guy who's going to come in and do a lot of the things the same way. They didn't go in this. I thought there was a chance of this. They didn't go get a capologist. They didn't go sign an agent. Like I think the Lakers just basically did that where they
hired
it was Magic Johnson,
the former agent,
and some agent to like run the whole show. You basically get a guy who's a big name and you get a guy who knows numbers and you put them in charge of your franchise. I would not have dug that because that's a case where it becomes a little bit of an Andy Reid monster, and I'm not thrilled about it being. You can't run an entire NFL organization with one brain. It just doesn't work. It's been tried over and over again. Maybe Bill Belichick is doing it, but Bill Belichick is a huge exception to how the rest of the NFL works. So if you are upset about John Dorsey still bringing in Brett Veach, I think will give you a little bit of a calming feeling because he's going to do things very similarly to how John Dorsey did them. He's a guy who will look at rosters. He's a guy who will nail the draft. Hopefully, he's a guy that will manage everything from the quarterback of the future to the fifth cornerback that you rotate through the bottom of the roster. That seems to be where Brett Veach lands. And again, he is not just they did not make an intern the GM. They made the third guy the GM. They made the third personnel guy eventually because it was Dorsey, Ballard, and Veach. Veach ends up hopping over Ballard because he's in Indianapolis now. It would have absolutely been Chris Ballard if John Dorsey would have gotten fired a couple of months earlier. But at this point now, Andy Reid now has the vote to break the ties whenever there is a confrontation. I feel pretty good about that assessment. And I don't think that much is going to change. The Chiefs will have to hire a new cap guy because Trip McCracken, who is, I mean, that sounds like a morning sports talk radio show, what is a code name, an alias? I don't know. That sounds fake. His name sounds fake is what I mean. He's up there with Jim Bob Cooter. Like there have been some amazing names, coming through this organization. They are going to have to bring in a new capologist guy because Tripp got fired, and that makes sense because the cap is in bad shape. We can talk about the cap ad nauseum. We've talked about it ad nauseum, where they're going to be paying a lot of money to guys next year who don't currently play for them. The Chiefs have like $9.5 million in dead cap money this year, according to Over the Cap. And for comparison's sake, the Broncos have like $110,000. The Chiefs are paying, off the top of my head, Jeremy Maclin. They're paying Jay Howard $5 million. They're paying Kaveri Russell. And I think they're paying Ramique Wilson in dead money also now, somehow. There is a lot of dead cap money that the Chiefs are dealing with. The cap situation is a problem. But as the Chiefs have hired Brett Veach, I think we've realized that was not the reasoning behind firing John Dorsey. The reasoning behind firing John Dorsey is because Clark Hunt was worried that he was Scott Pioli-ing everybody. And Andy Reid didn't like that either. You can call the show at 913-491-8255. My name is Joshua Briscoe. I'm in here for Derek, who is out, who is in for Cody, who's been out for the last 6 months because he does a different show now. It's all very confusing. You can tweet me at JB Briscoe on Twitter if you have any thoughts on the Brett Veach hire. Whenever we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that Evan Silva tweet from last week, from this last week that got a lot of Chiefs fans riled up. We'll break that down a little bit and try to see where he's coming from whenever he said that he would take the under on 9.5 for the Chiefs in 2017.
What's on tap? with Derek Haglund.
66 years old?
Yeah, well, he's in perfect health. He works out. He's vibrant. You'd really like him.
Why do people always say that? I hate everybody. Why would I like him?
On ESPN Kansas City, 99.3 FM.
Welcome back to What's on Tap. My name is Joshua Briscoe. I'm on Twitter at JB Briscoe if you want to tweet instead of call the show. Talking a ton of Chiefs today. Mostly right now, the Chiefs hiring Brett Veach, their general manager, news that broke yesterday. The Chiefs news fairy keeps timing its things very well for me. It's always exciting to talk about something new. And the Chiefs this offseason have given us no lack of topics. I told you we were going to talk about the Evan Silva tweet. I lied. We're going to get to that in a second. Because there are two things about Brett Veach that I wanted to talk about before we move past him at all here. First of all, that as we all sort of collectively, I think we have a collective nervousness, or maybe I should just speak for myself. I had a collective nervousness about the Chiefs hiring an in-house guy. Rudy mentioned it earlier. He's afraid that there's going to be a guy who's going to come in and just fold to Andy Reid. I think that's a reasonable fear to have, because you're talking about the Chiefs hiring a general manager, a guy who ostensibly lives at the top of the food chain just below Clark Hunt. You're bringing in a guy who has worked with Andy Reid for a long time after all of these reports of an Andy Reid power grab being part of the reason that John Dorsey was fired. And I don't often go to other media outlets to try to validate decisions made by sports organizations, because everyone has their own reasons for saying things. But there's a handful of media members who have said good things about Brett Veach that I think should ease at least that part of your concerns about the Veach hiring / Dorsey firing. John Middlecoff said, "I worked with Brett Veach for years. He'll be great. On the same page with Andy, has a very good eye in his football 24/7. In fairness, that does sound a whole lot like what we heard about John Dorsey whenever he and Andy Reid got together, but I'll leave that there for now. Ian Rappaport says, "For the Chiefs, Brett Veach was the top internal candidate. Andy Reid loves him. His star has risen quickly, and continuity loomed large." Seth Kaiser, we've had on 810 on Sports Sunday several times, he's at Real MN Chiefs Fan on Twitter. He might be the best Chiefs follow that exists on the planet. After JB Briscoe, which is another pretty perfect Twitter follow.
His gift game is strong.
Oh, he's got amazing. Dude, he's incredible. He watches so much film. He gifts everything incredibly well. He's a great writer. He's a great radio guest. Seth is a gem. He said, "From everything I've heard, Veach was the guy who pounded the table for Fletcher Cox, LeSean McCoy, and DeSean Jackson with the Eagles." That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to know. I want to find out that the guy that Chiefs hired is the guy who beat the table for the Stars, who ended up coming out of an organization. And then LeSean McCoy turned around and he beat the table for Brett Veach to get the Bills GM job this offseason. Again, the Chiefs wanted continuity. I think these are all things that should make you feel pretty good about the Chiefs coming back with Brett Veach. The other thing that this hiring solves is an issue that we talked about on Sunday, which is, why is it taking so long for the Chiefs to hire a general manager? This process seemed like it was taking quite a while. I expected them to probably announce the hiring on Friday, just because that's when you dump news. Although this is something where you think you feel good about it, so you want to let the media talk about it. So they brought it up yesterday. And I was yesterday, although the introductory press conference isn't for 2 weeks, which is weird. I just think you would want to trot your GM out there, but maybe everyone's on like vacation right now. Although Brett Veach probably shouldn't be, because he's got a new job. Okay. Anyway, the question you were asking about why is it taking so long to hire a GM, my opinion on that was very, very simple. It was, if Brett Veach ends up being the hire, the wait is no problem. Because it's a guy who's been in the building, who knows how the organization works, who knows the process that the organization is supposed to go through, who knows Clark Hunt, who knows Andy Reid very well. He started as like an intern with the Eagles, became an assistant head coach to Andy Reid, and then eventually sort of rose up the ranks there, if you didn't know that. He's got a relationship with Andy Reid. And if it was going to be Brett Veach as the GM, I wasn't worried about the time it was taking to make that announcement. Because the learning curve for him will be much, much less steep than it would have been for Louis Riddick, who currently works for ESPN, or for either of the candidates from the Titans, or I think it was the Seahawks.
couple other GM candidates that the Chiefs brought in or allegedly were talking to, whatever. Those guys, if it was going to be either of them, any of them, especially Lewis Riddick, because he just hasn't been in an NFL room in a little while. If it was going to be any of those guys, they needed to be in the building ASAP. You need to be in the organization, getting a feel for the whole process as soon as you can, especially evaluating your own roster. Brett Veach has been evaluating the Chiefs roster for years. Brett Veach knows already what he thinks about Terrence Mitchell. You know, that's one of the questions that we have going into this season is how do you feel about the cornerbacks, right? Marcus Peters is a shutdown corner. Terrence Mitchell had a really good second half last year whenever he got that number one spot. He was fantastic against the Steelers when they were testing him constantly in that playoff game. Whenever the defense came through and the offense straight up pooped the bed. The slot spot, you know, you have it was Phil Gaines, and then Steven Nelson comes in and plays really well, and Phil Gaines is having injury issues and he gets moved around and everything. If you're bringing in Lewis Riddick or somebody from Tennessee or Seattle, those guys have a lot of back work to do to decide, well, where are we on this? Do we need to make a move? Are we going to try to have some turnover after training camp, after those big cuts? Whenever some teams with better talent at the bottom of the roster than we do, whenever they end up letting a few guys go, do we step in and bring in someone that I'm more familiar with to try to work up the depth chart and replace this guy and this guy and this guy and then maybe eventually start opposite Marcus Peters? There's a lot of uncertainty there for every position. I mean, I just tried to take a look at the cornerback spot just there, and there are so many levels, especially whenever you're evaluating the whole NFL. You have to know not only your own talent, but how your own talent stacks up with everybody else, with the rest of the league, with some guy that gets cut by the Bengals after training camp. You've got to know, well, who's a better fit for our scheme, who has better raw talent, who has the better ceiling, who's more reliable in a pinch. You're doing those kind of evaluations, those kind of equations all the time as a general manager who operates like John Dorsey did and like Brett Veach is allegedly going to operate. That's huge. If you're bringing in a guy from outside, I would have been extremely upset today that it took the Chiefs wasted 2 weeks in hiring Lewis Riddick. It's Brett Veach. He knows. He has those answers already. Now, I mean, he's going to have more on his plate now, of course, but he doesn't have to go start watching tape of D Ford to decide what how he feels about eventually giving him a long-term deal. He knows already. And I'm guessing that what he knows right now is that we want to see what happens this year. Now, that philosophy ended up biting the Chiefs with Eric Berry and Justin Houston, which are a couple of reasons they're thrown around a lot for why John Dorsey was canned. One of the many reasons. One of the things that got tossed around a little bit is that eventually Clark Hunt had to step in and tell John Dorsey to get the deals done because Dorsey was trying to save some change here and save some change here, as you have to do. But eventually you wait too long and then those guys have career years and it costs your organization tens of millions of dollars. And it's not really a money thing as much as it's a cap space thing because that's how the NFL operates. That can't happen again. But if you're looking at, we got to that point by talking about D Ford. We can wait on D Ford. Because you also can't pay a guy a ton of money and then get that wrong. And that's why that's hard. That's why being a GM is difficult. I don't mean to say in any way that John Dorsey was doing a bad job at a difficult job. He built one of the 10 most talented rosters in football pretty safely, I think you could say.
Maybe the best top to bottom. Not that superstar like Tom Brady, but...
I mean, if you want to say... You could say
your 53rd guy's pretty good.
Yeah, maybe they have the best roster from 3 through 52. Now, that doesn't win you Super Bowls because if your 1, 2, 3 are, say, Roethlisberger, Brown, Bell, you're still not winning Super Bowls. And the Chiefs are nowhere near that right now. But, yeah, John Dorsey built a very good, deep, talented roster. And I tell you what, man, if you set your mind back a little bit to that Pioli era, that was a shallow, shallow team. There was some talent up the top. There was your Justin Houston drafting, and there were some good decisions made there. But there was never quarterback competition, ever, ever. It was always Matt Castle's team to the point where it was detrimental to the team because there was no other option until Kyle Orton eventually shows up. I mean, good God help us. But Brady Quinn played football games for the Chiefs. That happened.
Chiefs fans wanted him to play football
games. Yes,
yeah. We were excited.
We were lusting after Brady Quinn. Now, listen, I know that we are just following the footsteps of many, many women across this great, and I'm sure several men across this great nation who lusted after Brady Quinn. But more embarrassingly, we were lusting after Brady Quinn as a quarterback. How funny would it be if I would just like wear, if I just like tore my shirt off right now and showed you my sweet, authentic Brady Quinn jersey right now?
Somebody's got to be rocking one in Kansas City somewhere.
Someone owns one. Yeah, 100%. If you or someone you love owns a Brady Quinn jersey, tweet me. Tweet at, it's at Kansas City ESPN, right? That's the ESPN Kansas City Twitter account.
Yeah, that's it.
Tweet at Kansas City ESPN with the picture of you or your loved one wearing a Brady Quinn jersey, and we will intervene. I will get you into some sort of program to give you as much help as we can.
I love random jerseys. I've got a nice Patrick Surtain and Ty Law combo.
That's good. That's, yeah, but see that,
I
like
that one.
That one makes sense. Like, it's not completely out of nowhere.
I thought Ty Law was going to be the greatest.
Yeah, everybody did.
But he was like 40 years old.
Right. Yeah, we all forgot. Yeah, everyone's like, oh man, Ty Law is gonna, this is gonna change the defense. He's also eligible for AARP starting week 4, so that's a problem. But we started in there somewhere about how I'm not worried about the Chiefs taking a long time to hire Brett Veach because he's in the building. I have no idea how we got to where we did, and now I'm a little bit lost.
We were going to start off with Evan Silva, and then
right.
we're talking
here.
About Ty Law.
Right, and that's, I feel like that's generally how this works. Oh, the Scott Pioli problem. There we go. We got it back. We got back to the last checkpoint. That's the thing, man. I play through these radio shows like video games. I'm gonna get to a point, and then I'm gonna crash Bandicoot off a cliff, and I just need to get back to that last checkpoint. That last checkpoint right now was Scott Pioli having no earthly idea how to build the bottom of a roster. And that's something that John Dorsey excelled at, which is nice. But not the full picture. And if you're working with a disjointed front office, man, you're not building an actual Super Bowl contender. It's just not there. Now, maybe if Patrick Mahomes is a top 5 quarterback in the NFL, then we're never really gonna know what was John Dorsey and what was Andy Reid. We're never really gonna know what was John Dorsey and what was Brett Veach. Because a good quarterback can cover up a lot of woes. Aaron Rodgers last year finished the season throwing to a guy named Geronimo. Like, the two of the Packers' starting receivers in the playoffs last year were Geronimo Allison and a shopping cart with mannequin arms. That happened. Go watch the tape. It's shocking. No one talked about it at the time. I can't believe it wasn't a bigger story. The Packers literally put a jersey on a shopping cart and then just put mannequin arms on it. I can't even fathom how that happened.
And he had 130 yards.
Right, yes. Oh, yeah, because I mean, you just drop it right in there, hits the hand, falls in the shopping cart, and then JerMichael Finley goes and pushes it. I know he doesn't play there anymore. It doesn't matter. JerMichael Finley is always going to play for the Packers in my mind. And he just goes over, and Randall Cobb comes out and uses the shopping cart as a crutch while also pushing the shopping cart for 140 yards. A good quarterback covers up those kind of woes. Patrick Mahomes, if he's good, will keep us from ever knowing how good Brett Veach is until Mahomes is gone. And if we get through, I don't know, if we're 10 years from now going, man, that Mahomes-Reed-Veach combo was literally too good to evaluate, then I'm going to have nothing to complain about. You could cut off both of my feet and I would run a marathon for that result 10 years from now.
I'm really I can't wait for preseason. I've never been more excited to watch a quarterback in preseason than Mahomes.
It's going to be so bad, man. We're going to all get so excited. We're going to all get so excited. Do you know who they play? Do you know their first preseason game is against?
Maybe the 49ers?
Well, let's go ahead and say that. So we get a nice Brian Hoyer debut going up against Alex Smith. And then, Rudy, I swear I'll give you $10 right now if you can tell me the second string quarterback on the 49ers. Rudy's not doing the thing wherever he thinks silently on a radio show.
I'm trying to let's go with. I know I'm wrong here, but I'm gonna go with McCown. I'm pretty sure McCown's in.
Honestly, I think he's
in New York. Yeah,
I think he's a Jet.
I'm gonna go with McCown.
All right. Whenever we come back, we'll tell you who the backup quarterback for the Niners is. And also, we'll get you a fifth string corner that Patrick Mahomes will throw a pick in that first preseason game.
What's on tap with Derek Haglund?
Marijuana is a memory loss drug, so maybe you just don't remember.
I would remember.
Well, how could you if it just erased your memory?
That's not how it works.
Now, how do you know how it works?
Knock it off. Okay, I'm interviewing you.
No, you said that I'd be conducting the interview when I walked in here. Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
On ESPN Kansas City, 99.3 FM.
Closing up shop here on What's On Tap. My name is Joshua Briscoe on Twitter at JB Briscoe. Covering for Derek Haglund. The show's named after Cody Tapp. I'm Tyler Bray. I'm the Tyler Bray of this organization. Actually, you know what? Not right now, I'm not. Third string quarterback on the Chiefs depth chart, it's Patrick Mahomes. I'm the future of the franchise, baby.
It did take us like 3 months to get the What's On Tap with Derek Haglund.
I imagine, yeah.
We were for like 3 months. He was like, yeah, I'm filling in for Cody Tapp again today.
That's amazing.
3 months later.
Amazing. Yeah, no, I'm Patrick Mahomes. I'm coming for all their jobs. I got a big rocket arm. Not a lot of experience. That's all right. Got that raw talent and bad footwork. Speaking of, a couple of things here that Rudy and I were doing over the break. First of all, I do not have to pay him $10 because he could not tell me that the backup quarterback for your San Francisco 49ers is Matt Barkley. And if you had that, you're lying. I'm not sure that most people knew that Brian Hoyer was the number one quarterback for the Niners.
I knew one of Hoyer and McCown was in San Francisco. I just couldn't remember which one it was. Yeah. I always get those two mixed up.
He's the unquestioned starter in San Francisco. Colin Kaepernick is unemployed. Not that there's any other reason for that. The other thing that we were talking about is that Patrick Mahomes is either going to go out in the first preseason game and throw three picks or three touchdowns. There's no in between. It's either going to start a controversy. It's going to start a controversy one way or another. It will either be, should he start week one or should he be released right now? That's exciting. And the other thing that we have not talked about with Brett Veach is that he and Matt Nagy were teammates at Delaware.
I did see this video.
This video says Matt Nagy finds Brett Veach for a score that started the comeback win over Nova in 2000. And it's a beautiful play. Matt Nagy drops back to pass, throws a nice little 20, 30-yard pass to Brett Veach, pulls it in, touchdown. Straight money. That's synergy, baby.
It was his sixth touchdown catch of the year. I heard him say, too.
Look at that. That is production from the Chiefs' offensive coordinator and new general manager. What could possibly go wrong? Those guys live on the same page.
Matt Nagy, new head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs in about three years.
Oh, man. That's it.
That's Brett Veach.
Oh, this is good. Brett Veach is going to be given a five-year extension in a couple of years. And we'll go like, oh, great, this is awesome. Well, maybe they'll extend Andy Reid next. And 45 minutes later, Andy Reid has been fired. And Matt Nagy is named the head coach for as much continuity as possible. And then that quarterback to receiver combination becomes the quarterback, becomes the head coach of GM. Rudy, that is a spicy hot take.
And
I
in
love
week
it.
Six is when they'll have the introductory press conference
right,
to introduce
yes.
them.
Yes. They will finally decide that it's okay to face the media about, I don't know, 6 months after the announcement is made. Yeah, and if you missed it, Brett Veach will be introduced officially as the Chiefs general manager. His introductory press conference will be 2 weeks from now, which makes just no sense.
Which kind of makes perfect sense for the Chiefs.
I guess.
You fired Jim in June. You announced the guy at the end of July.
And then you introduce him week one of the playoffs. It's bizarre. And I think it was Vahe Gregorian had an article, sometimes I just eat entire consonants, and I don't know why. I had breakfast before I came in today. I don't know. I just sometimes a nice, hard N sound, just gets caught in my esophagus. Also, I got a Facebook message from my mom that said, "You sound great on FM radio." I went, "Oh, sweet. Thanks. I wonder how that sounded." Anyway, I think it was Vali Gregorian who had an article that talked about how there's sort of like this like weird like haze over the organization right now, because it is all still kind of weird and confusing and kind of gross. But the Veach hiring makes as much sense as you can. It normalizes everything as much as it can possibly be normalized. One thing I teased earlier that a few of you have probably heard already is Evan Silva's tweet earlier this week about the Chiefs, and his tweet goes like this. It says, "Obvious organizational dysfunction, bottom two schedule, bottom five offensive talent, likely in-season quarterback change. Love the under on the Chiefs' 9.5 wins." We're going to break it down sort of bite-sized here. Instead of, if you want the full step-by-step breakdown, you can go check out the podcast over on my Twitter account. God, I'm going to do 5 Twitter account mentions, at JB Briscoe. Charlie and I have decided that the show doesn't count unless I say my Twitter account at least 5 times, but usually I do a 3-hour show. And today, this show is an hour, and I think I've said my Twitter, I'm probably going to say it twice a segment, which is not really how I want to live my life, but also, I mean, do follow me.
You got to have Twitter followers. In today's age, you really do need like as many Twitter followers as possible. Like, it's a good, you put that on your resume. I have blank Twitter followers.
Exactly. Sports Sunday got me over 1,000. Not at once. Not like, I mean, like, it got me over the 1,000 mark from, like, whatever, 998. So, let's break this down real quick, what Evan Silva said here and why he has the Chiefs going under 9.5 wins. Not because I really care what Evan Silva thinks, but because it brings up some interesting questions and some interesting topics. Organizational dysfunction, yeah, kind of. I mean, yeah, sort of. That's kind of hard to argue, right? Like, the GM just got fired in June. That's weird. And Brett Veach now, he's the stabilizer in this situation, but it's still, that's fine. You can say that. Although, the rest of the AFC West, on a practical level, the Broncos and the Chargers both have new head coaches. New coaching staffs there. So the dysfunction is not exclusive to the Chiefs. The Raiders have the least organizational dysfunction right now, and they're giving out big contracts, so that's going to come in a different form soon enough. But we'll leave that alone. Bottom two schedule, also factually correct by strength of schedule of the 2016 winning percentages of the teams on the schedule. The Chiefs have the second hardest schedule with that metric. Now, the 4 most difficult schedules in the NFL, in order, are the Broncos, the Chiefs, the Raiders, and the Chargers. Because they have to play the AFC East, the NFC East, and each other in the AFC West. So he's right, but again, on a practical level, not that big of a deal. Bottom 5 offensive talent is probably the spiciest take there. The Chiefs have Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and I would say Mitch Morse as exceptional pieces of offensive talent. They're not in the top half of the league in offensive talent, but there's something there. I would say there probably aren't 15 offenses in worse shape than the Chiefs. I would say they might be one of the 5 or 10 most limited offenses, though, because of what Andy Reid allows Alex Smith to do, what Alex Smith is capable of doing. But talent-wise, the Chiefs have purposefully invested in the talent of the defense this whole time. It goes, give Bob Sutton the tools, Andy Reid is going to scheme success out of the offense wherever possible. That's just kind of how it works. That's sort of the plan. That's how the organization operates, and Andy Reid is on a okay job of that. The in-season quarterback change is the real thing I actually want to talk about, though. Because if there's going to be a quarterback in-season, I had somebody tweet me and say, well, I don't see Alex Smith being bad enough to be replaced mid-season. Me neither. That's also not the point. If Alex Smith is replaced halfway through the season, it's going to be because the Chiefs have realized their limitations and they believe that Patrick Mahomes can lift the ceiling. Patrick Mahomes will also lower the floor. There's a better chance of Patrick Mahomes coming in and throwing 5 interceptions in a game than Alex Smith coming in and throwing 3. Patrick Mahomes is the more volatile quarterback today, which means lower ceiling or lower floor, higher ceiling right now. If the Chiefs are going to make a change, it's going to be because they look around the rest of the league and go, we can't win like this. Not because Alex Smith sucks, because Alex Smith is limited. And I think that Andy Reid understands that also, because they went and drafted Mahomes. So no, I don't see Alex Smith being bad enough to lose his job to a rookie. I see the Chiefs potentially saying, you know what, Mahomes won't be hurt by being put into the starting position now, or it'll help him long term, or it'll help the Chiefs now. Ideally, both of those things. If Mahomes isn't ready, they're not going to put him in. The real value of this season, you want to have a contending team, but you cannot contend this year at the expense of Patrick Mahomes' development. Also, Rudy found something earlier. Pro Football Focus is doing like a franchise draft kind of thing where they're basically – set it up real quick, Rudy.
Yeah, they call it a foundation draft, and basically everybody in the world is available. So, like, we could be drafted in this if they really –
Have we been drafted in this?
I don't believe yet, okay. But I'm thinking I'm about a 20th rounder.
At me if either of us go.
But, yeah, so basically you can draft whoever you want. They have 32 analysts. Each gets to draft their full team, and – high school, college, pros, anybody.
Age plays a factor. Contracts probably don't, we don't think.
As far as I can tell, contracts doesn't seem to play out. Age is the biggest thing, I think. It's how young you are. You know, like Tom Brady, went out 10th. Tom Brady's 40. You
right.
know?
Aaron Rodgers, who is 33, which it's amazing to think that Aaron Rodgers has 7 or 8 more years left. He went first. Andrew Luck second. Russell Wilson third. Derek Carr fourth. The surprise here is where Patrick Mahomes went. After Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes went 13th. It's kind of a gamble, but there's some people around the league with some optimism about what Mahomes can do. As I've mentioned about a dozen times now, my name is Joshua Briscoe. You can follow me on Twitter, at JB Briscoe. I'm always down, especially to talk Chiefs. I know we didn't talk about the Home Run Derby today. It's because it's an exhibition event. It's just not that big of a deal. And I want to talk about Brett Veach, and I hope you enjoyed listening to it. You can follow me on Twitter, at JB Briscoe. Let me know whatever you have on your mind with the Chiefs. Thank you, Rudy, for helping guide me through this wasteland. I hope I did not poop in your living room. Thank you, Derek Haglund, for taking the day off and asking me to fill in. I had a good time doing it. This is only like my second time here over on ESPN Kansas City, so I hope you've enjoyed being on ESPN Kansas City as much as I have.
What's on tap with Derek Haglund?
I'm hungry.
Okay, well, don't be such a baby. I cooked you some bacon for a trail snack.
I ate it already.
What?
I could smell it in your purse before I even parked my car. And now it's gone, and I hate everything.
On ESPN Kansas City, 99.3 FM.